Earlier, we spent some time answering those three questions. I think those are good things. Those questions are good things to ponder. I wonder about those who may be with us for the first time. You know, they can't really answer those questions too well, but this is probably a good opportunity for them later on to hear some of the answers as to what is good about this congregation? What has drawn us here, and especially that latter one, what keeps us connected here? What keeps us here? This morning I'd like to take that and tweak it just a little bit so that those questions don't just talk about this congregation, this church. That those questions, and especially that last one, how might we answer that in relation to our connection, our relationship with God? What keeps us connected to the source of our strength? What keeps us coming back? Not just here, but what keeps us coming back to God? Now that is a question that may be easier to answer at some times than at others. There are times in our lives when that is an extremely difficult question to answer. I mean, think about the family. We heard about the family of John, about John Klein and his family, having to cross the line between the North and the South in the middle of that civil conflict. Coming back across, what kept him coming home? Not just to the home where his wife was, his church, but the home that is his God. What kept him going? What keeps us going? There are times in life where we wonder, you know, A, is there a God? B, is there justice in this world? C, if this God is there and is just, does this God really care about me? You know, you've had some of those questions, I'm sure. But what is it? What keeps us coming back to this God? And to answer that, I'd like to look at our brother in the Bible, Abraham. In fact, for the next couple weeks, we are going to be dwelling a bit with Brother Abraham. We heard this scripture from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, where it talks about the calling of this fellow. This guy who is about, I guess at the time, what did it say, Dennis? Was he 75? Did yours say 75 years old, thereabouts? Living in Haran with his wife, no children. God called him to go, to leave behind the familiar, to step out, armed. Well, I guess as the, you know, you hear the litany, he had lots of stuff with him. I mean, he traveled a lot heavier than I'm not sure I could pack all that stuff up, but he was armed most of all with a promise. That promise had kind of two points to it. It's a promise that keeps coming up over and over again in the Bible. The first prong of the Bible to this man who had no children was that he was going to become a father of many nations, that he was going to have progeny coming out of his ears. Later points in the book of Genesis, you hear him talking, you know, God has him looking up in the sky and saying, see all them stars up there? Well, your descendants are going to outnumber those. Promise one, future progeny. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Second part of the promise was leave behind the familiar country you've known, land you've known. There's another place, another space for you. I'm preparing for you now. Those are the two parts of the promise. And basically, as God called Abram at that time, and Sarai at that time, to go forth It's just that promise that was leading them on. God was saying, travel by faith. You know where I'm going with this. Today we're talking about faith. Now, faith is not an easy thing to put down on a piece of paper. Because once you start putting it down on a piece of paper, in some ways, it starts losing some of its strength. You know, once you define it too heavily, it kind of slips between your fingers. The book of Hebrews tries to describe it and says it's the faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or as the King James, how's the King James put it, the evidence of things not seen. I'm not sure I totally buy the King James evidence, because to me evidence is all about things that you see. I mean, in the courtroom this coming week, they're going to be putting evidence after evidence after evidence against our brother. Things that you can see. But really, faith is not about the stuff you can see. It's about the stuff you can't see. And it's about stepping out. Even when you don't know what's going to happen. Faith is a frightening thing. Seems to me that faith is just, in some ways, just a tad slip of the turn, if you will, from fear. I mean, when we think about the unknown, when we think about things that we can't touch, we can't get there yet, there's fear involved. I know it. You know it. And when we think about tomorrow, and I'm not just talking about the fear of, well, what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or whatever, how am I going to have money or whatever to get by. I'm also talking about, you know, the future, you know, that day when we breathe our last, you know, and the fear that comes with that, the unknown. I mean, certainly that was part of Abraham's picture, wasn't it? I mean, he was old enough. It says here, I love this point where it talks about he did not weaken in faith when he considered his body, which was already as good as dead. There are days when I feel that way about my own body. It's as good as dead. And yet. I love this passage where it says about Abraham's faith. Now remember, Abraham, as much as he's really lifted up as the paragon of faith. I mean, he is in the Bible. He's kind of referred to as the father of faith. If you look in that chapter, and I began quoting the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it talks about faith as the assurance of the things that we hope for, the conviction of things not seen. That chapter goes on with a kind of a litany of all, kind of a rogues gallery, if you will, of the faithful. Leads us back into the Old Testament, and we hear about all these persons who have sought to walk by faith, not by sight. You know the person in that chapter who is spoken of more than anyone? It's Abraham. 12 verses out of that. Now Moses had a whole lot more space devoted to him in the Old Testament. I mean, you've got the whole book of Exodus and you know, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, portions of narrative there, along with all that law. Moses is probably mentioned more than anybody else in the Old Testament. But he doesn't have as much space devoted to him as Abraham. And Abraham's got only a little bit of that first book of the Bible. Abraham being the father of faith. Now, don't have in your mind that Abraham was some perfect person, because he was far from it. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll kind of lift that up, especially today. Next week, we're going to be talking about a barbecue under the oaks of Mamre, but that's a Father's Day sermon. For today we're talking about faith, and I got to tell you that Abraham did have his moments of wavering in faith. When he doubted the promise, he did. I mean, that promise of children, for instance. You're going to have children. Well, it wasn't happening. And it didn't. And, you know, they kept walking and it didn't happen. And what did he end up doing? Almost thwarted the promise by having a child through his wife's handmaid. Now, we could talk about, you know, how, you know, the repercussions of that down through the centuries, what that led to. There were other moments when he wavered. Like, there's two occasions, and I'm not sure as I'm reading them whether they're actually two occasions or they're one occasion that just mentioned twice and told a little bit different in each one. Times when they, in their wandering, ended up in the territory of a particular potentate or ruler or whatever you want to call them, and that person saw here a woman and a man, and at first he was thinking, well, this is a two people married to one another, and then was given to think that maybe this was a brother and sister. And Abraham didn't do anything to enlighten that king that that was not the case, which he probably should have. I think there was a matter of fear there, you know, because when you're wandering in somebody's territory, you don't necessarily want to upset the fruit basket. And so he left things a little bit open, and that king stepped through the opening. Perhaps you know the story, and he started courting Sarah, and, you know, could have thrown things into a real mess until it became clear that Sarah was not really available, that she had a husband, and that was Abraham. The king was a little bit perturbed, but as the story goes, the promise stayed intact. No, Abraham was not a perfect person by any manner of means. And yet, the Bible lists him up as being the father of faith because he held on to that promise. Even when all circumstances seemed to indicate otherwise. That's the thing that the New Testament really lifts him up for. There's that troubling passage later on in the story of Abraham that's hard to preach, I got to tell you. You know what, many of you know what one I'm talking about. That story of once the beginnings of the promise were being put into place and a child was born. And remember, the promise was not just a child, the promise was many nations, you know, that will live on. You got one child. You know that story where God, for whatever reasons God had, God was testing Abraham. God called. I'm talking about this one today and not on Father's Day. This is not a Father's Day sermon. When God called Abraham to take his son Isaac, the beginnings of his promise being fulfilled, to take him up the mountain and to sacrifice him. You know that story. I mean, that story came to the very edge of tearing everything apart because Abraham took his young son, just all willing and, you know, jumping along. I imagine him just saying, this is a day out with Dad, and walking up that hill and helping Dad build his own funeral pyre, an altar, getting everything ready, and tying up his son and laying him on the altar because God was calling, saying, I have promised and I will be faithful to this promise, but I want you to do this. And as we read that story, as I read that story, everything that is within me is crying out, no, stop, don't do it. Still, Abraham did and came to the very point of taking his knife out and lifting it up. You know that story. And right at the very moment, God provided a ram another way, and they ended up sacrificing the ram instead of Isaac. Abraham is considered the father of faith, perhaps because of that. His willingness to kind of step out when, contrary to all indications, he just would keep walking and seeking to do what God was calling him to do. I like that passage here in the book of Romans, where it says, hoping against hope, he believed. And that's often what faith is. Hope sometimes is in the things we can see, the things we can touch. But faith goes beyond that. We don't know the whys and the wherefores of it. We just seek to walk by faith. And an amazing thing happens. And I know you've seen it, I've seen it myself. There's a line between fear and faith. And at certain points in our lives, we cross over. We walk by that faith. Our final hymn is one that, as the story goes, was constructed in a prison camp. The person that wrote it it's actually in a hospital. I read so many versions of the story of how this hymn came into being. I'm not sure which to believe, but there was a point where the person who wrote this was severely injured in the Battle of Vicksburg during the Civil War, lost part of his arm, what had to be amputated, and he was in the hospital, and he was getting bored, and the only thing available was a New Testament, so he started reading that from cover to cover and read it through a couple times. And there came a point when one of the orderlies there in the hospital, you know, there was a young fella in there who was dying, and he was just asking for somebody to pray for him. And the guy, the orderly, didn't feel up to that, and so he had seen this fellow reading his Bible and thought, well, there's somebody who knows what they're talking about. And he came to him and said, would you pray for this guy? And I haven't got any faith. And the fellow who wrote this song, what's his name? Daniel Whittle. He said, well, I haven't got much faith either. I mean, I've been reading because I was bored. I don't know. And he said, well, and they both went over to this young fella, and guy started praying, but first he started praying for himself because he didn't have much faith. And an amazing thing happened. He started moving over in the prayer for himself, became prayer for this other fella, and in the middle of the prayer, the fella died. But there seemed to be a sense of peace over him at that end. Well, this fella wrote, Daniel Whittle wrote, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known. And I know not, each sentence begins with a no-nots. And that's where faith really starts. A lot of things we don't know. But then there's that shift. But I know whom I have believed. I trust. Make that shift as you sing this song, would you? I know not why God's wondrous grace, number 338.